tomorrow night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tomorrow at 9 p.m.
I'm Robert Evans, host of Behind the Bastards, and if you're like me, you're probably worried right now, in part because of the fascist insurrection on January 6th in Washington, D.C. But what if I were to tell you that what happened in D.C. was just the latest in more than a century of fascist attempts to take over democratic governments, many of them successful? Learn about the history of these insurrections and the history of anti-fascist actions attempting to stop them when you listen to Behind the Insurrections on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Serious Rap Shit is a production of iHeartRadio.
Me and my friend take this rap shit too.
Boom. Mic check, 1, 2, 1, 2. We back in the house. Episode, is this 130?
130, bro.
130 degrees. Serious Rap Shit Podcast. I'm John, your host.
I'm Josh, ever host.
And yeah, we rocking in the free world. How you been, Josh?
I'm good. Oh, you got your Summit of the Pinnacle shirt on?
Yes. We had a guy's trip to the Poconos. Shout out to all the homies that went, and our homie Raj hooked up
a shirt
with all of our names on it, and I am rocking that right now.
Yeah, I just peeped that.
That kind of freaked me out when you said that, because you
forgot that
me.
I'm looking at you.
I can't see you. So we just sat here and talked for like an hour and a half. And this whole time, I'm thinking, we're not seeing each other.
Yeah, I feel you. It's almost like a phone conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. But, yeah, what's been going on with you?
Editing, and more editing, bro.
Yeah. Working on that documentary.
Yeah. I learned a couple new little tricks and things to make it look a little like slicker in different spaces. I mean, granted, this is like the first of like five other edits I'm going to end up making eventually.
Oh yeah, you're doing like a draft.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And like basically what this will be is the template, and it'll be like, oh, I'm going to use essentially this template, and then I'll just cut I'll cut 2 seconds here, I'll cut, a millisecond here type shit as it goes along, or I'll cut out this and I'll take this audio and put it here type shit.
Yeah, that's really we talked about this a lot. We had this opportunity to work on this film, and it's something that's that we've been like kind of making strides towards. But yeah, I really want to be in like the film and TV game.
Yeah, me too. Definitely. You know? Not want to be. We will be, bro.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I mean, we have a documentary that will hopefully be available to be seen by the end of this year.
That's so crazy to me. Yeah. Hopefully, outside opens back up.
Eventually.
And we can like send this thing to some festivals or some shit. I don't want to do a festival over like Zoom or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
What I'm saying?
There's 900 people in the festival. Like, we're doing like a Q&A on Zoom.
All right, the brother in the top left-hand corner of my screen. You got a question, brother? Yeah, nah.
Green shirt. The green shirt on. Like that, you. That one. Yeah. You got a question? Like, nah.
Niggas doing Black Star over Skype.
Yeah. Not a good look, dog.
Nah.
When the outside opens back up, hopefully, we can have something for folks to see it on. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Hell yeah.
And, Yeah, so but yeah, just doing that, dog. Like, that's literally taking up like that and making sure my kids don't kill each other. Like,
are they getting like cagey with like being inside and all that?
Yeah, I think they're all getting a little rammy, yo.
Yeah. That's just hard. I'm a full adult. And yeah. I feel like I want to like kick through a wall.
Yeah, like I try to talk to them about like just the ability that you do have to go in your, you know, respective rooms and shit like that. Like, there's people who ain't got that. You know what I mean? But, you know, they don't want to hear that shit. They fucking young. Like, you know what I mean?
Hell no. And I don't blame them.
No, no, exactly. And they don't, like, you know, it's hard to, like, get them to understand. Like, dog, I've tried to tell them, like, yo, you know, like, me and grandma used to go, like, get furniture from next to the dumpster if it was thrown out and shit like that. You know what I mean? Like, they'll never understand that because they've never had furniture that was, like, not brand new.
On some, like, struggle shit, yeah.
Yeah, like, like, yo, you know, grandma used to tell me, like, yo, it's night out. I saw a table next to the dumpster that I think still in good shape. Let's go get it. And like, I gotta go out there and like in the same apartments that all my friends live in and go take something from the fucking dumpster and shit.
Right. And you know, when you young like that, young people are like the most easily embarrassed.
Oh yeah. 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Like if we were walking, like we have a back deck and I want us to have like a waterproof like couch like thing, like an outdoor couch,
like a porch couch and shit that could like get rained on if it needed to. Yeah,
100%. So like in the summertime I can like drink beers and lay out on the deck under the sun. Like that's like my dream for this apartment. I promise you, if Liz and I were walking home and I saw that fucking thing like sitting out on the street, something that, you know, that would fit,
yeah,
I would drag that shit up into my house, no hesitation. But when you're like a kid, stuff like that is like, oh, it's like embarrassing. I used to get embarrassed when my mom would like go out and like pick up stuff out the trash.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah,
you know what I mean? On trash day, like, oh, they left a table or they left such and such. I would feel like embarrassed when I was a kid over that shit. Man, listen. I'll give a fifth of a fuck, but that's, you know, you grow up and you're like, you're older. There's like, it should be less things that make you feel embarrassed or like insecure.
Yeah, 100%. And I think for my kids who, like, they never experienced that. Like, you know, you always want to give your kids like slightly better than what you had as a child or whatever. Right. So like my kids have been relatively, you know, lucky in a sense that they when I was really, really struggling, when like right before my, before India was born and like V was only like 3. So like, they don't really remember any of that.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they were like young enough that you could get off of like, you know, it's a shitty, shitty Christmas, but they don't really know because they just got a bunch of toys to play with and they don't care that they're from like Family General or whatever. You know what I mean? Or Dollar General or whatever. They're they're like, yo, they don't care. They just got a bunch of new toys. But like now, if you told them like, yeah, you know what? You're not getting these games, blah, blah, blah. They'd have a fucking freak out.
It's like the end of the world.
Yeah. So like they're just like, they have not been accustomed to the ideas of like, oh, it's a struggle right now.
Right. I feel for people in this whole quarantine thing, people who got like multiple kids and they can't go to work. You know what I'm saying? Like you in the crib, not on some like, oh, you know, you're in the crib and your kids are wilding out. Just like the economics of it. You know what I mean? Like, I couldn't imagine if I worked, you know, like some of the jobs that I worked before and I had a kid and this shit happened. You know what I mean? I would feel like, damn, like the fucking walls is closing in on me. Like, how am I, you know, people are filing for unemployment.
Yeah.
But people are also, you know, saying that the system is like clogged up.
Yeah, it's crashing on people when they're trying to sign up. And like, there was a bunch of people in Florida that were like in a line to file paper applications for it.
Yeah. Yeah, because then if you can't do it online.
Yeah, they suggest like going to the spot and filling it out. And the crazy thing is a lot of those places are closed. A lot of these government things are like shut down.
Right. Right. Our system wasn't equipped for this shit.
No.
Not in the least.
No, we run, well, shit, we run an economy based on, like, mystery science. Like, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
Like, yeah. Oh, yeah, we back ourselves up with, like, you know, credit. And, like, we want to know why, like, our economy crashes after 2 weeks of no one being able to, like, go to a restaurant.
That's the part that, and I was thinking about this shit this morning. I was making breakfast and just kind of, like, thinking to myself, this shit shows you just how flimsy normal is. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, 100%.
This shit went to piss in like 2 weeks. you know what I mean? And I hope one of my hopes coming out of this is that people remember that when we start talking. Because, you know, it's difficult to suss shit out while you're in the mix, you know what I mean, and things are happening. But I hope that we reflect on this shit, and when we start thinking about how can we make the world better, what is our capacity to create change and, like, you know, change that means some shit, you know, not just, like, cosmetic change. My hope is that we remember, like, yo, our society was grinded to a halt in 2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
3 weeks. You know what I'm saying? Because a lot of times I feel like we believe that it's not possible to change things. You know, it's like the shit's too big and we can't really make a difference, or, you know, things have to be the way that they are. I'm talking about capitalism primarily and, like, white supremacy and, like, these systems that hold people back. You know, I hope people, we can all look back and be like, oh, you know, none of this shit is permanent and none of this shit is infallible.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with a system that is... That is set up on such a like straw. You know what I mean? Like, it's not supported by anything strong. Like, it's such a it's such a game of mystery, like a game of fucking a shell game, essentially.
Right.
And where they're moving things around and it's over here, it's over there, blah blah blah, blah. And like, hopefully people will come out of this going like, oh, they don't know what the fuck they're talking about. Like, they don't know what they're doing or what they're talking about.
Right.
Like, with this great mystery of how things are so, oh, these people are so much more powerful and so much, and can do so much more stuff than us. Like, it's beyond our reasoning. Like, right. No, it's really not. They don't know what the fuck they're doing either.
Right. And they need us, like, workers.
Yeah. Oh, if anything, that's what this needs to have, like, given away.
Right, right.
Like, if, you know, people not shopping for 2 weeks crashed your, you know what I mean, crashed your budget as a company, and now you're, you know, now you can't pay rent. Mm-hmm. Like, but the people who work for you are expected to pay rent. You know what I mean? Right. Like, no, that should show you, as more than anything, what your power is as a consumer.
I think that's one of the reasons why they're trying to open this shit back up real quick, because I don't think that the political class and the capitalist class wants workers to realize that they can grind the economy to a halt just by staying home. You know what I mean? Because a lot of the great, how do I want to say, reforms that have happened in our society, just speaking about America, we're not even talking about in the quote unquote third world or like all over Europe and all these other places. The great reforms that have happened in American society have come from workers going on strike and from human beings directly confronting the system. I feel like motherfuckers, they're trying to like open this shit back up and get everybody back, you know, to work and get everything back to normal so that people will won't realize just how essential and powerful we are.
Yeah, 100%. Because the faster it gets to back to normal, the faster people will forget, like, oh, yo, like, Cheesecake Factory was legit gonna, like, crumble because it didn't take customers for 2 weeks.
Shout out to the Cheesecake Factory needing a fucking bailout.
Yeah, like, are you serious? Like, how did you, or like a cruise line where it's like,
yeah,
yo, y'all charge people exorbitant amounts of money to do these things that does not cost y'all very much.
Dog, I heard that they built a bailout. Somebody correct me if I'm wrong, that they built a bailout into the stimulus package. They threw like a bailout into the private jet industry.
I would not be surprised.
I understand that y'all motherfuckers are like out of touch and everything, but like how out of touch can you be?
Yeah, there's a commercial floating around where it's like the CEO of Walmart's like, I just want to send a deep heartfelt thank you to all our employees who are working and you guys, how mandatory, you guys are heroes, blah, blah, blah. It's like, give them a fucking pay raise. Like, don't tell them they're heroes.
Right. You wouldn't pay Superman $7 an hour.
Yeah.
Since I'm such a fucking hero.
Like, come on, man. Are you kidding yourself? Like, yeah, you know, you guys are heroes and we just want to say a heartfelt thank you to all of you guys as we continue to rake in billions of dollars and also get tax cuts because we don't pay you enough. So you have to get on welfare so that we get a discount in taxes because we hire people that are on welfare. Like, what? Yeah. Like, come on, man.
Yeah, people don't want no fucking thank you.
No, they want to be able to fucking make money. Like,
Or at the very least, you won't have them out here. In service of Walmart, get them some fucking gloves and masks.
Yeah, exactly. You know what I mean? Yeah, I don't want my Walmart and, you know, the people helping me at Walmart walking around like taking even more chances of getting sick. Like, come on,
right,
man.
Right.
When they're providing essential service. Yeah, that was the big thing. Like, that's what's going to come out of this a lot is like, yeah, man, a lot of those people who people go like, man, they don't deserve $15 an hour.
Mm-hmm.
They were having to go to work every day when you get to sit in your house and work.
Right.
Or, you know what I mean? Get your 6 weeks paid vacation and take it off.
Right. Right.
Like, those folks had to go to work every day. Fucking people at Dunkin' Donuts is there every day.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's jump out and take a break.
Yep.
Real quick. And then come back and talk about Premier versus the RZA. Historic night
bong, bong.
in hip-hop history, you know what I'm saying? So yeah, we gonna bong, then we gonna bong, we gonna come right back.
It's safe to say 2020 was one of the most difficult years ever for so many, and these remain very challenging times. That's why I'm here to ask you, how can I help? My name is Dr. Gail Saltz, host of the new weekly podcast, How Can I Help? With Dr. Gail Saltz, brought to you by the Seneca Women Podcast Network and iHeartRadio. I'm a clinical associate professor of psychiatry at the New York Presbyterian Hospital, a psychoanalyst, best-selling author, and I'm here to help. Join me every Friday, where you can ask your most pressing questions and get helpful guidance on topics ranging from coping with anxiety and mood, relationships, to family and parenting issues, to workplace dynamics, to dealing with COVID fatigue, and everything in between. While it has been a tough time, you don't have to navigate it alone. So, how can I help? You can send your questions anonymously to me at howcanihelp@senecawomen.com, and I will answer with specific advice and understanding. Listen to How Can I Help with Dr. Gail Saltz on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts.
If I could be you.
And you could be me.
For just 1 hour.
If you could find a way.
To get inside.
Each other's mind.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
We've all felt left out. And for some, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Walk a mile in my shoes.
Boom, back in effect. So last night we've been getting treated, yo. I know some of y'all like miserable fucking DJ niggas have been complaining. Oh, when I was live streaming, y'all wasn't this hype about it. Oh, they're just playing old songs. You know what I mean? So what? We've been getting treated with this series, Swiss Beats and Timbaland Set It Off, and they've been linking different producers and songwriters to battle each other live on Instagram. And last night, motherfucking DJ Premier battled the Abbot, RZA of the Wu-Tang Clan, and that shit was the most popping.
Yeah, as soon as RZA figured out how to like turn his camera on,
dog,
you know what niggas, I mean?
Niggas was in there because Primo, you know, he set his shit up first, and yeah. Primo just in there, he like shouting people out, shout out my man Creepy Clown, shout out yeah. to Marley Marl, he like shout niggas out, and niggas is waiting for RZA in the fucking live, dog. That shit was so fun, yo. Like, they went round for round, they went over 20 rounds.
Yeah, it was like 28 or something like that.
Dog, they played yeah. They play all of these joints, and the cool thing about it too, so many like legends
yeah,
were in the live too.
Yeah,
you know
like,
what I mean?
It was probably the closest a lot of us who, you know, didn't grow up in New York and didn't grow up in the 80s or like, it weren't like adults basically, or like mm-hmm. in our 20s and the 80s. Like, it's the closest we'll ever get to being at the rooftop. Mm-hmm. When, like, you know what I mean?
Latin
like,
quarters or something.
Yeah, when, like, there was, you know, every legend that would become a legend in one place at one time.
Yeah. Marley was in there.
Yeah. Q-Tip was in there.
Tip. Charlie Chase was in that joint.
Fat Five Freddy.
Motherfucker Topanga from Boy Meets World.
Adrian Brody
right. was in that shit, dog. Yo, that shit was, yo, what was the deal with Black Thought in that joint, yo?
Oh no, dog. Like, he told Premier to go smoke some wet at one point.
Premier was talking before they start playing the music.
Yeah.
And Black Thought was like, it'll chill with the talking, Primo. I'm like, damn, like, why he got a problem with this nigga? Like,
yeah, there must be something there, dog.
Niggas, I don't know who I'm working with. I might edit this out. I'm working with a literary magazine called The Believer.
Uh-huh.
And it's possible that I'll be doing a deep dive interview with Black Thought soon.
Okay, that's what's
right.
up.
So I don't know, like, I might ask him, like, oh, what's up with you and Primo when he battle? If it's not me, one of y'all journalist niggas gotta ask him, yo, next time y'all talk to him, like, yo, why was you wilding in Premier's in his IG comments, dog? He really was like coming at Primo. And then as they were going on, Black Thought kept saying, like, yo, that RZA took that round. RZA 6-0, he 10-0.
Yeah, he was like, it's dog. Like 9-1 and two yeah. draws. Like,
I'm like, RZA, I'll say this, because a lot of y'all, you know, motherfuckers who, you know, be on Twitter and shit, I saw a lot of motherfuckers really downgrading RZA as the, you know, in the lead up after they announced that they would be battling.
Yeah.
I saw a lot of people like, yo, RZA gonna get trashed, RZA gonna get washed. It's no producer with a catalog that'll wash RZA. I don't give a shit on some hip hop shit. There's no producer who catalog is washing RZA. He may lose. He may have joints that work in certain eras. Like if you put him against Marley and they had a bunch of like 50-year-olds judge it, or people, you know what I mean, in the early 60s or some shit, they might roll with Marley because it's like stylistic. Yeah. Or if you had RZA against a bunch of people in like their mid-20s, you know, it as the judges, and he's going against, I don't know, like Pharrell or some shit.
Yeah.
You know, whatever. But like in that arena, nobody's watching the RZA. I saw a lot of people saying that, oh, the RZA, he gonna get trashed and all of this shit, but he really came out banging. He started with Liquid Swords,
which is
like a perfect intro song, you know what I mean? Like he really was giving Primo a lot of work early on.
Definitely. I think like I definitely was going into it going like, I don't know, man, Primo's gonna be hard to beat.
Mm-hmm.
But like never in the fact that being like, oh, RZA is gonna get washed.
Right.
Like RZA made classics too. Like I mean, he can, like somebody was like, well, he can essentially play only Built for Cuban Links and win. Like, you know what I mean? So
that's the thing too. He only played from like Cuban Links and Iron Man. He ain't play a lot of records from those albums.
Dog, I was waiting for Daytona 500.
Daytona, he could have played. He could have played Glaciers of Ice.
Yeah, didn't play Glaciers of Ice.
Dog, if he'd have played Glaciers of Ice, I would have kicked my window out or some shit. I was hyped, dog. I went and got the Timbs.
Yeah, you know,
threw them on.
I had a black hoodie on, my fucking army fatigue jacket. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yo, like
I was putting a little coke in my blunt just so, you know what I mean?
Sprinkle a little coke in the blunt. Dog, I was so excited leading up to this shit. Yeah, if he had played that Glaciers of Ice, I would have went off.
Well, it was perfect that it happened. I mean, to cut you off. It was perfect that it happened during the quarantine because I legit was going to go rob somebody after the battle.
Immediately.
Yeah, the wolves would have came somebody out. The wolves, you know, would have been out, but you know, nobody else was outside, so I couldn't rob nobody. You know what I mean?
Yo, it was so many joints that RZA could have played. Premier, for the most part, played everything that I thought he would have played.
I was surprised he didn't play like Superstar.
Ooh, right.
Because that was my argument too. It's just like, I mean, you know, Premier could also play fucking Group Home whole first album and be like
that whole shit, yo.
He even the skits played, like just run, let the skits run too, you know what I mean?
That what's the shit, the Getaway Car mix, dog, he could have played that shit and it would have been crazy, you know what I mean? I felt like he didn't play enough Gangstar.
Yeah, I think he wanted to avoid going to the Gangstar bag too much, but I think he didn't go enough.
Right. Because he could have played. Did he play You Know My Steez?
Nah, didn't play You Know My Steez. Didn't play Full Clip. He didn't play
The Royalty Joint. The joint with Jadakiss. He ain't play that.
Yeah. He didn't play a lot of stuff.
If he would have played You Know My Steez, I don't know.
Yeah,
you know what I don't know if RZA could play to really bang that out.
Nah, and see that's the thing. Like, there was a couple of joints I did like when he played like when RZA played Verbal Intercourse, and he was like, yeah, you know, Nas is a legend. You know what I mean? I got to work with him a couple times, and he dropped like Nas is like, it's like, oh, that's. That's hard, dog. That's hard. Because I love that beat. I love the Nas is Light beat
Nas
so
is like
much.
Is the shit.
The birds like...
Yeah.
Dog, that shit is crazy.
That shit... I remember when Nas is Light came out, I remember being like, Nas kind of like that too. Cause Nas will make some shit, you know, it's like a little whack, you're not fucking with it.
Yeah.
But he'll come back with a joint. Nas is like, is one of my, oh shit, Nas is back type songs.
Yeah, 100%. And then he dropped that album and he was like, eh, you know, this album's all right.
Yeah, you know, that's why we make our own versions.
Yeah, exactly.
Shits, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Put all the hot shit together.
That album banged for that time. A lot of those beats didn't really age well.
Right.
A lot of that Casio keyboard shit at that time. That's why.
That shit's hard, yo, like, to make something that's contemporary that doesn't age poorly.
Yeah.
I feel like the RZA, like, nobody's ever made a piece of music like Glaciers of Ice. Not before or after. You know what I mean? And RZA, if you really peep it, RZA was one of the last producers. Remember how Public Enemy, like the Bomb Squad, they would have a sample from this and this and that and that,
yeah,
and they would
yeah.
put it all together. RZA really was one of the last people doing that shit. You know what I mean? Putting together different. Dilla did it like subtly. You know what I mean? Dilla used to do it. It's a Keith Murray record that Dilla did. That's he just took the piano from Nautilus.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So RZA was really one of the last people who was really ringing off, that was really doing that, taking multiple samples. What's the name is like that? He played Cold World. Cold World is like three different primary samples.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And he makes kind of dance together. It's like the main sample, then it's the boom, 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 little keyboard shit. Uh-huh. That's a Frank Zappa sample. And then it's like a little guitar that he chopped in there.
Yeah.
So he's somebody who's a really unique thinker as far as like making beats. You know what I mean? So it was ill to see his work get celebrated like that. And I also enjoyed how him and Primo was like bigging each other up.
Yeah, I love that, the love in between the two of them. I also loved RZA's fingerless gloves.
That nigga looked like
that.
One of the gangs for the Warriors.
Yeah.
He had the fingerless gloves. He had no sleeves on. That shit, dog. When because, you know, like we said, like Primo was fiddling around with his live.
Yeah.
When RZA's camera went up and he's standing there, he got the shades on.
Yeah.
He got the Wu-Tang hat, fingerless gloves, no sleeves, and the big screen behind him playing Afro Samurai.
Yeah.
I was like, that's fucking perfect.
Yeah, exactly. This is what I expect RZA to look like when he's walking around the crib.
It's in the crib. Dog, I said... on Twitter, I was like, yo, RZA broadcasted from the spot where Kareem Abdul-Jabbar fought Bruce Lee.
And that fucking like 7-level temple and shit.
Yo, that shit was so perfect. I'm like, yo, RZA's the man, yo. Like,
the only thing that would have made that better is if he had like a karate gi with no sleeves.
Right, right.
And he came through with like the black belt with the three red stripes on it. Like, you know what I mean?
That
like, I got my third degree. I was just practicing before I came up here.
You know, I was on the fourth. He was on the third. Dog, that shit was so fun. I love that it was good spirited. And I love that for the most part. Like, I jokingly was like, oh, man, fuck y'all DJs who complain about it. I mean, I'm serious about that. But, like, you know, it ain't that big a deal. For the most part, I saw a lot of people coming away from this thing, this battle, with, like, a positive, with, like, a positive energy behind it.
Oh, 100%. Like, most people who I saw, like, you know, because you could see someone, like, I could see a bunch of people sending hearts and doing, like, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I could see who was in there, saw people commenting, and, like, folks be like, yo, Philly in the house, blah, 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 blah. Or,
right.
You know what I mean? Like, shit like that, and it's just, like, it felt like a moment in time, and mm-hmm. a moment that, like, we wouldn't have got, like, if RZA RZA and Primo were like battling at some club in New York last night, like maybe what, 5,000 people show up, something like that,
right? It wouldn't have been
200,000, like, mm-hmm. you know what I mean,
right?
And I think, you know, as big as this is and as a, like, you know, cornerstone memory this is be for a lot of people, these little moments inside that cornerstone will be amazing too, because we essentially got to share a shared experience with Fab Five Freddy, with Marley Marr, with, like, right, you know, Black Thought, Questlove, fucking Staley, like, you know, all these people that are just, like, sitting there watching it with us. Nas was in there. They were saying Jay-Z was in there on his burner account. Like,
Hov was definitely in there, him and Beyonce, watching that shit. Beyonce is like, yo, he gonna play You Know My Steez? Like, you know what I mean? That,
bro, he need to drop that So Ghetto.
He came out with the A Million and One Questions, yeah, joint.
That Which shit, is, like, one of my favorite records ever. Yeah,
that shit's so fucking good. It's so good. Premiere, I understand why a lot of people had Premiere winning this thing. His style musically is, like, brighter, bolder sound. Yeah. You know what I mean? He has, like, DeWick records like that that people can dance to. Like, I get it why people were, like, I just felt like people were selling RZA short.
Yeah, 100%. And, like, that's the thing where, like, you know, I wrote right in the comments of, like, when he plays the wick, I was like, yo, it sounds like Summer Outside.
Come on.
You know what I mean? But you can't front when RZA plays Ice Cream, it sounds like fucking Summer Outside.
Right. Right.
You know what I mean?
Thinking that video and the joints, yeah, with the t-shirts on and shit.
I think some people sold RZA short for how expansive his catalog is, as opposed to, I think so many people, right, focus in on, like, you know, Fourth Chamber or, mm-hmm, you know, Ain't Nothing to Fuck With, shit like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then forget, like, yeah, but he also made all this other shit that's not just, like, when he breaks out the joint he did with Kanye.
Right, right.
Like, dog, that shit don't sound nothing like, you know what I mean, all this other shit that he did. You, yeah, know, it's not, this shit don't sound like investigative reports, like, you know what,
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah, yo, RZA, he could have played the Fourth Chamber joint. He had songs that he, you know, had in the tuck that he didn't play. Did he play? He played Criminology, though, right?
He played Criminology.
He played Criminology. You know what I mean? He really could have ran a lot more Liquid Swords. You know what I mean?
He didn't do a lot of Supreme Clientele. I thought he could have used some, did some more shit off Supreme Clientele.
He did play Ain't No Love To Be Found.
Yeah.
That joint. He played that shit, which is crazy. He could have played the shit, what is it called? I'm so bad with titles. It's he rapping on it. It's him, Ghost, and Solomon Childs, that the joint off of Clientele. He got like too many records he could have played.
Yeah, 100%. And yeah, like you said, I think it was some people sold RZA short. But then, like, you could see in the comments, like, some people who were, like, super RZA heads who were just like, yo, RZA's up, like, 18 to 2. Like, right, you know what I mean? Like, dog, I'm sorry. That's not how this works. Like, RZA didn't have 18 better songs than Premier, dog.
Yeah, I didn't want to cut you off. No. RZA, I think, came in real strong, and I think toward the end, Primo was just beating him up with joints.
Yeah, he started dropping a lot of those Biggie joints that are, like, hard to, like, he drops Unbelievable. It's hard to be like, well, what do I got that's competing with Unbelievable?
He went from Unbelievable to Come Clean. I love Question Remains, but I don't feel like that's, like, a crazy hard, you know, battle,
yeah,
record.
Yeah, me neither. Yeah.
He could have threw Mass Appeal in there or something, you know what I mean? But he went from Unbelievable to Come Clean to Kicking the Door and Above the Clouds? Crazy.
Yeah, yeah, that's a three-track run where it's like, damn, like, but, you know, dog, he tried, I forgot that RZA did Long Kiss Goodnight.
Right. As soon as you listen to it, you're like, oh yeah, that's
RZA. But I completely forgot that he did it.
Yeah.
They did play a couple of joints where I was like, oh, not Premiere as much, because Premiere's sound is so kind of distinctive. Yeah. Like,
there and was all a these, everything Premiere played, like, you know.
Exactly. Yeah. I know it's Premiere. When he played Long Kiss Goodnight, I was like, oh, shit, I forgot about Long Kiss Goodnight. He played something else, and I was like, yo, I forgot RZA did that joint. Like,
yeah.
What joint was it? You know what I forgot about? I forgot about You're All I Need. Like, completely just forgot. Like, not that RZA did it, but just was like, oh, shit. Like, RZA does have records that you're like, oh, these were commercial hits, like, on poppy radio.
Yeah. Yeah. Dog, you know that shit, mean? Like, Bring the Pain was rocking all over radio, all in people's cars. Even, like, stuff from the first Wu album, Shame on a Nigga, like Protect Your Neck. That shit really played everywhere.
100%.
Everywhere. You couldn't go outside and not hear those records.
Yeah. Also, I'm going to need folks to know that Annie Up wasn't produced by DJ Premier.
Yo. Yo, like, I get why people think that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But yeah, y'all got to give my man, this DR Period that did it, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's DR Period.
Y'all got to give DR Period his props, yo. Stop
acting like. Give my man his flowers before, you know what I mean?
Yo, stop acting like he produced that record. Dog, I want to see.
The comments were just like, play Annie Up, play Annie Up.
People was like begging Premier, like, you got to play Annie Up, man. Like, he did not produce that song.
Be like, yo, man, just play Troy Premiere. Like, come on, dog. Right.
What? Like, yo, if you play Big Daddy Kane wrong, battle over. Like, nah, y'all got to chill out. Especially being like everybody, you know, make mistakes.
Oh, yeah, 100%. No, 100%.
Being like, y'all being like hip-hop heads. Like, come on, yo.
Yeah, especially when you have the, you know, all of the wealth of knowledge in your hand while you're doing it. Dumb. Like, before you throw it out there, be like, yo, let me just double check that he did that. Because he ain't played it yet. I'm surprised he ain't played it.
Dog, you know how much shit I double check on the course of a day?
All the time, dog. I'll start to write a status on, like, Twitter or Facebook and be like, yo, let me make sure I'm saying this right or doing sure like.
I'm writing exact.
Yeah, because I don't want to be spreading, you know what I mean, bullshit. I want to send technology out here. So I'm like, yo, let me check. Oh, okay. Yeah, I was right. Like, you know what I mean?
This one brother on Twitter, this was a few months ago. He seemed like a cool boy. I don't know the boy, but he seemed like a cool boy. But he was talking about Ali Shaheed Muhammad. And I said something about Ali, and he was like, Ali Shaheed Muhammad, he ain't make no beats, whatever. And I was like, all right, dog. Like, you know, Q-Tip, everybody know Q-Tip made the beats.
Yeah.
But I was like, you're not going to sit here and say Ali Shaheed Muhammad didn't make any beats, because I know that to not be true. He's like, you can't find me one credit that Ali Shaheed Muhammad got in throughout the whole 90s, one production credit. And, you know, I like proven theories. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you talk a real heavy, now I got to, like, give you screenshots and prove you wrong. So I dug up a bunch of records that Ali produced, because he wasn't like, he wasn't out there like Pete was. He was the DJ of a group.
Yeah.
So he was doing shit on the low. So I gave this nigga a whole list of shit that Ali produced. He had to fall back. You know what I mean? You gotta like fact check yourself. If you're gonna be out here with it, you gotta fact check yourself.
I remember I did that for somebody. I forget when we were like, whatever. It was trivial shit we was arguing about. But, like, he was like, well, how could, you know, you ain't got a proof. So, like, I pulled up, like, oh, look, like, these, I Googled, like, the results of what we were talking about. I was like, well, here's, like, a link for here, 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 here. Like, there's, like, five links just right here about this topic. And the boy was like, I mean, anybody can Google.
Like, I can look on the internet.
I'm like, yeah, but the point is, like, there's these five links that you can go to.
Right.
He was just like, I mean, anybody can Google. Like, how I know that's true? Like, well, how do you know what you're saying is true, dog?
Right. Like, what do you want me to know? Like, what do you want me to say, B? Like, if you're not going to look at the proof.
Yeah, like.
I've seen people do that shit, though. Like, it's I'm not clicking on that.
Yeah.
What do you want then? What's the end game?
Yeah, I'm not going to have my theories challenged.
Right. You know. We've said this before, but you remember my man, it was like, not all facts is in a book.
Yeah.
Yo.
Not all facts is in a book. Some of them are YouTube clips.
Right. Right. Some of them are in the stars. What the fuck? But yeah, yo, this shit was ill. It kind of reminded me too how much I like D'Angelo, Devil's Pie.
Yeah.
When Primo played this, I was like, man, this shit is funky. It's like evil sounding.
Devil's Pie. Dog, I remember when he played that shit, Nas jumped in like, yo, Belly. I'm like, dog, I don't think you want people to remember you was a Belly.
Yeah, Nas. Nas is like, you know, I gave up on the whole Nas and Primo doing an album together thing.
Yeah.
Many, many, many years ago. Nas and Primo got to do an album together. Yeah. If Primo did a whole album with Royce, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Two whole albums with Royce. And Royce is the shit. I'm not dissing Royce.
No, you loved his last album. So
His last album was really good. And Royce is the shit. Nas got to do a record with Premier, yo.
Nah, man, he's got these other dudes that he just like, he's in love with using as producer. He did a whole album with Kanye, an EP with Kanye. He can't.
Yeah, he did.
Like, dog.
Which, the Ye shit was okay.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple really good songs on there.
Yeah, yo.
The Cop song, like, that joint is insane. Like, yeah, there's a couple really good songs on there.
Yeah, I just didn't think that Adam and Eve shit that they may have stolen from some bull. You know what I mean?
And the artwork that they stole from some bull.
The same bull. Like, the same thing.
Oh, yeah, It was the same dude, I think. Yeah.
But, yeah, like, Ye and Nas, they could have done, one, it was, like, the fact that he has to do, like, five songs with all these other artists, and they five songs. That whole thing was weird to me.
Yeah.
But also, I don't think Ye was really, like, super focused on Nas. You know what I mean? Like,
he was doing so much other shit at the time, too.
Right. Right. You know he's, like, publicly melting down.
Yeah.
And he's trying to produce records for, like, you, Teyana Taylor, Pusha T and shit.
Yeah, he's like yelling at like TMZ reporters in their offices and visiting Trump and then flying back to like, what is Iowa,
Wyoming.
Yeah.
To make records. I would love to see Nas and Primo lock in.
Yeah,
you
100%.
Know what I mean? Or
Nas
and Large
is.
Professor.
Yeah, that's mine. Like, I want a Large Professor Nas record.
Yeah.
That's my dream. He did one with Cormega.
You said what?
Like, Large Pro and Cormega made a record together.
How about that?
Like, you can't just go sit down with, like, Large Pro and make a whole record?
You know he got a crazy folder of beats.
Yeah.
Dog, I be seeing him, though, Large Professor be on Instagram just, like, playing crazy shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? He just be, like, Large Professor, all them guys, K-Def. I was on Instagram earlier, and K-Def was just, like, sitting in his crib, just chopping up some crazy shit.
Ski be doing that shit, too.
Right. Ski, all them dudes, and, like, niggas know them, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it's not like Nas. Niggas was arguing.
It's not some dude we know, like, you know what I
right.
mean?
Just it's not like, yo, go holla at my beats. Man.
Yeah.
Niggas was arguing on Twitter earlier whether or not Meek is aware of the Meek remixes that Knowledge be making.
Yeah.
And somebody made a good point. They was like, yo, Knowledge produced shit on To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah, exactly.
And every time he drops a remix of Meek shit, it go viral.
Yeah.
So Meek definitely knows who this dude is. And they both Philly Bulls.
Yeah, exactly.
Knowledge, I think, is from Jersey, but he lived in Philly for a while.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And so, it's not like Meek has like a low profile on social media. Like, he was just right. arguing with, like, Nikki on social media. I'm sure right. he's, like, aware of what goes on.
He's aware. And, like, I feel like it's the same thing with Nas, with, like, the producer thing. And even if you're not aware, get you, like, a young bull who could be like, yo, you need to do a whole album with Alchemist or something. But yeah. Nas fucking knows Alchemist.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that nigga Alchemist been in the game since like 90 when yeah. he was in the Hooligans. Like, he knows, Nas knows these people. You know, I don't know what the process is behind the whole like beat selection thing or whatever.
Yeah, nah, I mean, and you know, it is what it is at this point. Like, if we don't know that Nas does what he does, like, you know.
Yeah.
Just gonna come to grips, but yeah, I think we should take another break and then come back. We got some new music to recommend and a documentary we really think you guys should check out.
Word, we'll be right back.
Tomorrow night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tomorrow at 9 p.m.
Do you ever wish you could get more from your podcast? Well, you can with BuzzFeed Daily, hosted by me, Casey Rackham.
And me, Zach Safford. On our show, we've got more good news and more pop culture.
More memes and more celebrity tea.
More of everything that's blowing up your timeline and trending on the internet.
Every weekday evening, we're giving you more of what you need to enjoy your day. Because what's life if it isn't to be enjoyed?
Listen to BuzzFeed Daily on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Boom, right back at you. So you recommended a documentary for yes. me to watch.
Yeah, shout out to the homie Just. He put me onto it.
Yeah, yo, LA Originals.
Yep.
About the tattoo artist Mr. Cartoon and the photographer Steve O.
Yes.
Yeah, two LA dudes.
For you.
Mexican dudes who've really on the low for decades been like really impacting the culture.
Yeah, 100%. Like, I knew about Cartoon as a tattoo artist because, you know, anybody who's seen pictures of me know I'm covered in tattoos.
Mm-hmm.
And now that I don't have a regular job, you know, I could go get my face tattooed.
Get your whole skull tattooed. Yeah.
Dude, I would do it if I didn't know it would probably hurt so bad.
That shit's gonna feel terrible.
But I would get my head tattooed. But I'm aware of Mr. Cartoon. I've been aware of Mr. Cartoon for a while.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew about like his connections to like, oh, he's tattooed like all these famous like hip hop dudes. Like, I knew about the exhibit XZ, and mm-hmm. I knew about a bunch of like M's joints and the Cypress 50 Hill. Cent. Yeah, 50 Cent. So I knew about a lot of those. But I didn't really know his like whole backstory of him like being a graffiti artist and like kind of just like backward walking his way into like working with different artists and shit, like ended up going on tour with like Cypress Hill and
right.
you know what I mean, all these different dudes, and Esteban like basically doing the same thing, kind of like just meeting a bunch of people, and then like, you know, people were just like, yo, you're the road manager for the Soul Assassins now.
Right Yeah, if you're into LA culture or like LA hip hop, Soul Assassins, all of that stuff, this documentary is like perfect for you.
100%.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And it's ill. I'm really into culture in general and culture being documented. I love the fact that these dudes, you could tell that they authentically come out of their culture. You know what I mean? They were doing like the tattoo shit. And then homeboy did like, a photography. It's like this beautiful photography book of like Mexican American like women, you know what I mean, like the Chola culture and all of that. And then they were like painting the cars and shit. It's something, it's like a culture I don't really know that much about, you know what I mean? I know they fuck with like old school R&B, you know what I'm saying? Like, I that's a thing. But like, it was ill to see that everything that they were creating was tied back to, you know, probably shit that they were introduced to when they was like little kids. And, it, and you could feel the love of their culture coming out through this whole film. It made me, it made me feel like I was like in LA with them while they were doing this shit.
Yeah, it's super engrossing. And like they had like a like the SA studio, the Soul Assassin studio, where like Tattoo was Cartoon was tattooing. And I was just about to say tattooing was cartooning. Cartoon was tattooing, and like Esteban was like, had like a bunch of like lowriders in there and like brick walls, so like he could do photo shoots in the studio. And like it was in like Skid Row in LA. Mm-hmm. And like before, like I don't know like LA setup, like, so you know, I don't, I've never even been to LA yet. But like before they even got to it, I automatically knew like, oh, there's gonna be a part of this that talks about gentrification and how Skid Row isn't Skid Row anymore,
right?
And they like bought out all these places. I already knew that was gonna come.
Yeah.
And
it's,
that's not like
all over.
100%. Yeah. So like I wasn't like, that's not a shot at the documentary. That's more just like, oh, I already know that's happened. I know what's gonna come from this.
Mm-hmm.
But like they talk about like their homie was like a dope fiend, and they had to like wake him up because like they were having a business meeting for like millions of dollars and shit, and they got like a dope fiend like passed out in front of their spot. Like, but like they were so entrenched that like, yo, they, you know, they like, they knew these like the homeless dudes that was outside.
Mm-hmm.
And they like helped them get to pay them to help move stuff, or like they knew all these dudes. And they weren't like, they were still like, so they're still like so in touch with like the culture, where they're just not like, you know, they're not just completely sold out in any type of way.
Yeah, I would definitely say if you're into like tattooing, photography, you know, West Coast culture, hip hop, any of that, you know what I mean? It's just like, this documentary is really done, really well done. It's really dope. You know what I mean? A lot of like super dope famous motherfuckers are in it. You know what I mean? Like you said, Exhibit, Snoop, Dr. Dre, Eminem. They got a lot of dope like archival and like behind the scenes footage. You know, if you want to see Bizarre from D12, get a tattoo.
Yeah, get a tattoo on his
with
stomach.
His shirt out. I mean, with his shirt off, his belly out and shit. Yeah, I would highly recommend this joint.
Yeah, it's so beautifully shot. Yeah. And, you know, working on a documentary myself, I'm watching it going like, oh, like look at that transition they use, or right, oh wow, look how they made like that photo. Because there's several times where they use a photo instead of like actual video footage. And I'm like, wow, they did a really good job like making movement in a photo. Mm, and
yeah,
shit like that, where I'm just like, oh, that looks great. It's beautifully done. It's part of a culture that I really respect. Like you said, don't know a ton about. But like, you know, a culture that's like huge in other countries. Like they were talking about, like in Japan, there's a whole like Cholo culture. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
That like, you know, I mean, when we were kids, at like very formative age of like the early 90s,
mm-hmm,
West Coast hip hop ruled the world.
Yeah, absolutely.
And like these dudes were a huge part of it that a lot of us didn't even, a lot of us didn't even realize.
Yeah. Completely behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, definitely LA Originals.
Yeah, on Netflix.
It's on Netflix.
Fuck, y'all ain't doing shit else. Like listen to the pod, listen to us, and then go watch that.
Yeah, y'all in the crib with it, you know what I mean? Just listen to us and watch this shit.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, check that out. LA Originals. Really good. Really good.
As far as new music, I've been fucking with this guy, He's a producer, an MC. His name is Navy Blue.
Okay.
And his album is called Ada Irene.
Okay.
And I'm sure I'm like mispronouncing that shit, but it's really fucking dope.
Word.
Really like chill, you know, overall vibe. Lyrics are like introspective, you know what I mean? He's not like giving you a lot of like up tempo, like hype joints or whatever. The whole vibe and atmosphere is like super real melodic. Chill. Yeah, melodic shit, some like jazzy samples and shit. Some of it, it kind of puts me in the mind of the boy YL that I be fucking with real heavy.
Okay, word.
You know what I'm saying? Like that same kind of, just like some shit, if you smoked, you know what I mean? You could like throw this shit on and like smoke vibe. And vibe out to it. Uh-huh. And a lot of it, you could tell it's like real like personal lyrics and shit that he's like really dropping. So yeah, Navy Blue, that shit, his album came out, I think like a month ago.
Okay.
Maybe a month or two ago it came out, but it's really fucking dope.
Where here's a little inside baseball for everybody, all the listeners out there. So me and John, we've always made a document for us to like follow, like basically a script, just an outline of like, you know, what we're going to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we'll put some, you know, one of us will create it and then we add stuff as the week goes on. But you added the listing for new music. You added Navy Blue at IRN. And I thought the artist, I thought the name of the album was Navy Blue.
Oh,
and because
right.
I listed my music under that same passage of like, oh, well, then it's the name of the album first and our artist name.
I see it. Yeah.
So that's why I just, when you said that, I was like, oh, the artist's name, Navy Blue.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's a little inside baseball. I didn't know that that was going on. And obviously I didn't listen to that project yet, but I will check it out. I was listening to this record again. This record is a few weeks old too. I think it's like 3 weeks old.
Mm-hmm.
It's a new record called Insomnia by, get ready, cause it's grime time. My man Skepta, the legend. I mean, Skepta's legendary.
Absolutely.
Chip and Young Ads. It's like a group, it's like a collective project. It's really, really good. It's like 13 tracks. 9 of them are really good.
Oh, shit. That ain't a bad bat
ratio. No, not at all. And, you know, there's going to be certain joints I'm just like, oh, well, it's not really my flavor. You know what I mean? Because it's grime and it's not like, you know, home-based type music. Mm-hmm. But, you know, folks, y'all know, like, y'all listen long enough, y'all know the vibes, you know, yeah, you know, I'm the Grime Time reporter, you know what I mean?
Come on.
But yeah, I saw the record, it came up, like, you know, obviously the algorithm knows my taste for grime, so it like popped up in my listings for new records. I was like, oh shit, let me check this out, and I meant to check it out a couple weeks ago and I forgot. And then I was like, oh, I gotta get some new music. And I looked at like what the new music was that dropped this weekend. I was like, oh wow, I don't want to listen to any of these dudes. It's a lot of guys with like young 22 so and so, and I was just like, oh, I'm not listening to that dude. So I was like, you know, I was like, you know what, that Skepta record dropped, I want to check that out. So I did. It's really, really good. Like I said, there's probably about like 8 or 9 records out of like 13 that are like really good. But you know, listen, if you're, I think there's some really like, it dabbles more in the lane of like what would be road rap, out there, you know what I mean? So it's a little more like hardcore than it is like what, like grime is kind of hardcore, but it's a little more harder than that. It's more closer to like, trapping music here. So it's more in that lane. But like, it's really good, man. Like, Skepta's a legend, dog, and like, oh, he kills everything on this joint. Even the records I don't love, he kills his verses. And the dude Chips is cool. Chip is cool. And Young Ads is cool. Word. So I definitely say check it out, man. Like, I know a lot of people are not like biggest grime dudes in the world, but like, you know, maybe my man Bo Blizz will check it out. So
shout out Bo Blizz. Yeah, hell yeah.
No, maybe he'll check it. Maybe it'll be me and him be the only ones listening to it on the
only ones in Philly
across the pond. But you know, whatever.
And fucking Dev moved. I was gonna say Dev 7-9. He moved.
Yeah,
but yeah, he was rocking with that shit heavy.
Yeah, I mean, I know my man Devil. He gonna hold us down overseas. Like, he probably listening to it. He probably had it early or something.
Oh, real shit. This week, me and Liz been talking about moving to Europe.
Uh huh.
Might have to. I got a couple things to do.
You know what I'm saying? But and then, you know, relocating to Berlin.
Listen, we might be out of this motherfucker.
Dog, I was just telling somebody earlier, like, yo, I'm thinking about, like, maybe Melbourne in the future, dog.
Oh, shit, yeah. You know that shit's like, beautiful over there.
Yeah, on top of the fact that, like, it's 14 hours difference, like, people couldn't bother me, dog. Because, like, I you know what I mean?
At all.
Yeah, like, I'm asleep when they awake. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it would be a beautiful thing to not get constant phone calls like, yo, man, I kind of need you to do something for me. Like, right. Nah, dog, I'm in Tuesday already. Like, I can't help you. Like, you know what I mean?
Can't help me, bro. You got a Monday favor. Tuesday, bro. I can't help you.
Like, yo, I'm sorry, dog. Like, I'm just saying, like, make sure you wear, like, bring an umbrella. You know what I mean? It's probably going to rain. Like, I'm just living in the future for you, baby. Like,
yeah, yo.
Yeah, I'm good. I want to get to the point where I'm so far away that people can't call me for favors.
Yeah, yeah. Oh man, all over there.
Yeah, man, like what time is it?
Like the only we could wrap up, but
yeah.
The only reason I'm like hesitating on that shit is because I know my mom would not be pleased.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I mean? My mom don't like the fact that I'm in South Philly and she in uptown. You know what I mean? So I know if I was like, yo, we gonna move to Barcelona or some shit, she would not be happy.
Yeah, I'm moving to a country that has universal healthcare in the next like 10 years.
Come on.
Like, at least, you know, we gonna be popping by then. So like I'm gonna have a residence somewhere in a country where I can like, yo, I got my Medicare for all card. If I need something, I can fly home and get it.
Right. Yeah, yeah. So that's all right, we're gonna make a pact. We're gonna get popping and then dip.
Yep. Grab some cribs in like Barcelona. So just, you know, small flat Barcelona. You know what I mean?
Come on.
Definitely. But other than that, you can catch us on all the platforms at Serious Rap Shit. I am Indy, INDI _ SRS.
And I'm John. I'm sorry, I was going to jump in on you, my bad.
No, I'm just on Instagram and Twitter. And you are?
At John _ Liberator, Instagram and Twitter.
Yeah. And we have the hoodies and t-shirts still up at Incense Trap and Yoga.
Word. Shout out to Rhythm too, yo. Her dog died.
Yeah. I reached out. I knew something was up. I hadn't heard from her in a couple, like, and I knew she wasn't posting as much.
Yeah.
I noticed and I was like, oh, I should reach out to Rhythm, make sure she's good. And like right when I was thinking that, like an hour later, and I checked the IG and saw that and was like, damn. So I reached out to her. But yeah, that's hard, man. Like losing a pet is really, really hard.
She loved that dog too.
Yeah, she loved that dog. You know what I mean? So, you know, shout out to
you, Rhythm. We hope you feel
absolutely
better.
Absolutely. You know, that's a business run by a black woman. So if you want to help a business run by a black woman in these wild times,
yeah, support that shit.
Absolutely. Also, rate and review us if you're listening to this right now on Apple Podcast. You can rate and review it right in app, and it helps out a lot. We really need it. Five stars.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, tell a friend to tell a friend, like and subscribe, all that other fly shit. All that shit helps out. So you know, we love y'all, and y'all stay sane, wash y'all hands, and you know, stay the fuck away from people. Stop, you know, hanging out in the park and playing catch and shit.
Stop having fucking kickbacks and roof deck functions and all that other goofy shit.
Yeah. And listen, I know you love your family, but you know what? Like, your niece is turning six. You can have the celebration in a month. Like,
y'all niggas wasn't visiting your family before the quarantine.
Dog, motherfuckers is visiting their family so much more during this.
Yo, I gotta go hang out with my mom. I gotta see her. She ain't got many years left. Nigga, you wasn't hanging out with your mom beforehand. Get the fuck out of here. Dog, flatten the curve, nigga.
I would like to have a summer. Please stop going outside, y'all.
Dog, you're not upset. Podcast is over. Just cut it
turn off. Yeah,
you're not upset. I would be, dog. After I missed the whole summer, 2018,
2 years ago.
You know what I'm saying? And then I had a poppin' summer 2019, but my shit was still, you know, my legs were still feeling wobbly and shit.
Yeah, 100%.
Come on, man. You're not upset. I would be. I still had pain in my back. In 2019, none of my shit, you know, is relatively cool now.
We had big plans for this year.
2020, come on.
We got big plans for this year. Stop fucking it up.
Yeah, we trying to do shit for y'all.
Yeah, we trying to pop.
Come on.
You know y'all be happy for us? Even if y'all mad, y'all be happy.
That shit we was talking about earlier. Like, oh man, that's my brother right there. Yeah, nigga. Fuck with me, nigga. But yeah, we'll be back next
week. We'll be back next week for y'all, man. Y'all stay good. Peace.
Peace.
Serious Rapture is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get podcasts.
Ever wonder what kind of job you would have if you were born in a different time? You're in luck, because Jobsolete is a new podcast that just may have an answer for you. I'm Helen Hong.
And I'm Matt Beat. Take a spin through workplaces of the past as we scout history's most interesting jobs in every episode. From the forgotten jobs of history to obscure occupations that still survive, we'll talk with an expert to answer the burning questions, and you'll discover some of the most fascinating and unusual ways people have made a living through the centuries.
And who knows? Maybe you'll find a job you love as a town crier, or switchboard operator, a food taster, or an MTV VJ.
You can listen to Jobsolete on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Tomorrow night, it's the biggest night of the year for podcast fans. Our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards.
These are really some of the best and brightest and smartest and most compelling minds in the country.
Celebrate the podcasts we've leaned on for laughs, headlines, stories to get our adrenaline pumping, and voices to comfort us.
This is a huge honor.
We did it!
Thank you to my listeners, because without them, this wouldn't happen.
Don't miss our 2021 iHeartRadio Podcast Awards. Watch on iHeartRadio's YouTube and Facebook, and listen on our iHeartRadio app tomorrow at 9 p.m.